Minshew at the under center? I mean, are you kidding me?
The creamed onions, the spinach, the cranberry sauce, the gravy, the mashed potatoes, the string beans, the turkey, of course, the wine, and then you cap it off with some pie and ice cream. And after that, we hit the road.
Well, that's kind of a shocking acknowledgement. This is not year one or two.
Our great thanks to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They have got an exclusive Black Friday offer only at Bill Curry Ford. 0% APR financing for 72 months on new 2023 Ford F-150s. That's only at Bill Curry Ford. It's a mind-blowing deal. They present all of Ira Kaufman's work at joebucksfan.com. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first phone call whenever you have a disaster in your home, fire, flood, mold, storm damage, call them first. They'll come out, give you a free evaluation. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. And Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Here is the Sage.
This is the first time, and I think it's legitimate. This is, as opposed to last week, this is a must win.
And a reminder, this podcast was recorded before the Bucks formally ruled out Levante David and Carlton Davis from Sunday's game at Indianapolis. Buccaneers fans, he is the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is back. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. If you want to listen to the last episode earlier this week, it's available for you at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, JoeBucksFan.com, other platforms that you could dial into the Sage. And Lee wasn't there, so we're going to allow Lee Ira to just unleash his fury. We haven't seen fury like this in a long time. No pressure, Lee, no pressure, but we got to let you release it. But first, we got to tell everybody, Ira, you know what? Right now, I got a special advertisement from Bill Curry Ford by email, and I was told this absolutely cannot be revealed until Thanksgiving. It cannot go on the website, but Thanksgiving, let it rip. And it is just an incredible Black Friday offer, but like a real Black Friday offer, not one of these things that, you know, okay, November 7th, we're releasing our Black Friday deals, and that's fine. We love those too, and there's plenty of them right now at BillCurryFord.com. But this is a special, special offer. It'll be at JoeBucksFan.com. You can see it. Jump on this. I've seen it, Ira, but I've been sworn to secrecy. Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, he actually drove to my house and taped my mouth shut. I had to get it reopened. But BillCurryFord.com, you can shop there anytime. Sean is our buddy. He loves to talk Bucks with Bucks fans, and you can reach out to him. Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount on top of any offer. Check out their website, their nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, great inventory, BillCurryFord.com.
Steve, you've got my attention on this Bill Curry Ford thing. You've got my attention. I'm very curious. I might have to show up there on Friday just to say hello to Sean Sullivan and check out what the heck is this offer. Anytime Isbitt says he's been sworn to secrecy, Lee, I'm interested.
Sage, as we mentioned in the last podcast, really cool offers from Big Storm Brewing Company, a big Wednesday wing situation over at their Centro Ybor location. Great specials there, but they've got them all the time, especially Football Sunday. And they are also at the Amway Center in Orlando, State Road 54, right off there on Success Drive in Odessa, and the flagship location, Clearwater, on 49th Street. And just load up on Big Storm Spirits and Florida's best craft beer for the holidays. See them all the menus, everything, BigStormBrewery.com. And follow each location on social media. See all the different specials and events and music, all kinds of things. We love Big Storm. All right, Ira, you know what? We want to hear what's on your Thanksgiving menu. But first, we're going to let Lee rant. He was at the game in San Francisco. And Lee, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind is, I think, what is on many, many Bucks fans' mind. The most important thing a defense can do to get off the field is to get after the quarterback. Most importantly, bury his ass in the turf. That's the most important thing. I did brief research Sunday while I was at Levi's Stadium. The Simeon Rice of our day Joe Tryon Shoyinka has a grand total of 2 sacks in his last 334 snaps. Just think about that.
Wow.
Now, his last 49 snaps, Yaya Diaby has 3 sacks. It's pretty obvious Diaby is a hot hand right now. If you look at national NFL publications, they're all raving about Diaby. You know, Diaby's up and coming. You know, he's one of the rookies of the day last week. Blah, 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 blah. On and on and on. And yet for Todd Bowles, he wasn't good enough to get on the field, specifically ahead of Joe Tryon Shoyinka. I'm not anti-Joe Tryon Shoyinka in the fact that he's a good guy. He busts his tail. But I think we know what Joe Tryon Shoyinka is by now after 2.5 years. He's a warm body. He's just not it. But the Bucs, specifically Bowles, because he's the head coach, he has final say. He's watching a quarterback carve his defense up, but nope, Yaya Diaby was not good enough to get on the field. From my best estimation, I did not watch the All-22 from the last drive of the first half until the end of the third quarter. That's when the 49ers turned the game around. Yaya did not see the field. The 49ers have not seen a quarterback put together a game like Brock Purdy had Sunday since the great Joe Montana wore the cherry red and gold. That's 34 years ago. But yet, the Bucs, Todd Bowles, could not come up with a reason that, you know what, I might need to get more pressure on the quarterback. I need to get Diaby up there. Nope. Couldn't do it. He's in a rotation. Now, I have to admit and I have to apologize that my question to Bowles about Diaby, because I was pretty fired up Sunday about this. I was really riled up. Maybe my question to him was a little unetiquette. It wasn't proper etiquette, maybe. Maybe I was a little too harsh. I think it really irked him. But gosh darn, you got to explain in great detail how you may have had a chance to pull off an upset, but you couldn't find a reason to get one of the hotter pass rushers in the game on the field. Now, I know Bowles said the next day, he said, well, he doesn't know the defense yet. Okay, I understand that. That makes sense in a macro sense. However, you tell me what's worse. A guy having a wrong outside linebacker having a wrong read, and maybe you give up a 4-yard run, a 6-yard run, or you have the freaking quarterback slice your rear end up all freaking afternoon. You tell me which is worse. I kind of think it's the quarterback, but that's just me. I don't know. And then last week, we hear another good guy, Casey Rogers, that he went on and on and on and on like the Bucs discovered the next Deacon Jones. Marcus Watts, oh my gosh, we knew he was going to be a stud from the first time he stepped on the field in underwear football. We could see it. Well, how come you couldn't see the need to get him on the field for more than 3 snaps? He gets on the field 11 plays against Tennessee. I know Tennessee is not San Francisco, but he made 2 impact plays against Tennessee in 11 snaps. He got on the field 3 freaking plays Sunday. Come on now. So you have 2 guys that at least have shown in very recent history, at least they're on a hot streak. At least they've demonstrated they can get to a quarterback. Instead, you have a guy sit out there who's turned into a freaking milk carton, who's got 2 sacks in the last 334, or 2 sacks in the last 334 snaps. The last time he had a sack was over a month and a half ago when the Bucs lost to Detroit. Now, I'm going to guess there's some people in the highest reaches of One Buck Palace are wondering why their coach couldn't see the need or the inspiration, the inclination to get a couple guys on the field, at least more than 3 snaps, when the freaking quarterback is ripping you to shreds. I don't know.
Steve, you got to love Lee's passion, no matter whether you buy his arguments or not. And I think he makes a lot of strong points. Steve, I'll say this, and I think I'm right at this juncture. There's a pretty good chance that we're one game away, one game, from some major changes on the field. And I don't mean on the sidelines, on the field. And by that, I mean, Steve, and you said it in the earlier podcast, should they slide to 4-7, that would be 6 losses in 7 games. Oh, geez, what a tailspin that would be. Steve, I think it's fair to say Diaby's got to start. I think it's fair to say that I want to see Servacier Dennis, even if Levante David is playing. I say take a seat, Mr. White. Take a seat. I'm looking at you, Jamel Dean. I think you you might need a rest, too. You might need a blow. How about taking a seat and I'll play 11 snaps the following week? I want to look at one of the younger cornerbacks. If they had any kind of running back option on this team, I think it's well time for Rashad White to be replaced as the primary ball carrier and instead switch to a role as a third down back, or as Lee suggests, a slot receiver, but not the primary back. The problem is they don't have anybody that's better right now. Steve, 4-7, I think that's the turning point. And I don't think if Todd Bowles wants to play some of these younger guys at that point, I don't think the Glazers would have one bit of a problem with it. We're pretty close to a breaking point here, Steve.
I agree with you. If they actually lose, I don't know if I believe that they are yet. I'm still pretty optimistic, Ira, but the Bowles thing with Yaya is a little wacky. You know, he made that comment about he doesn't really, you know, that strongly implied he doesn't have the defense mastered yet, and all it is considered a very complex defense. But then on the same day, he sat down with Dan Lucas of WFLA and said that Diaby does know the defense and praised him for it. And then, Ira, on the Buccaneers Radio Network on Tuesday, Bowles talked about Yaya and said that he was getting over 2 small injuries, and that was part of what held him back a little bit. Now, Yaya has never appeared on the injury report. I went back and looked at all of them. So that was a little bizarre, too. It's like he's just pulling stuff out of thin air, but I don't understand the resistance. Like, maybe he's afraid that Joe Tryon Shayinka can't handle it mentally if he gets benched. I don't know. I mean, it's obvious. Let's just pull Yaya out of the equation for a minute. It's obvious that Anthony Nelson is a better player than Tryon Shayinka. The stats bear it out. Yet he is behind him. And so I don't understand it at all, the fascination. Maybe he feels a level of responsibility, but I'm not seeing it. He's gotten plenty of rope here. It's time. It should be crisis time, and they're not kind of treating it that way.
And I don't think this is the case, Lee, but you can only hope Tryon Shayinka's draft status is no factor in these decisions. And it shouldn't be.
It's a major reason. Because otherwise, how could you make the case to start the guy when you're coming up goose eggs? That's
shame, Lee, shame on the Bucks, Lee. Shame on the Bucks if that's the case.
I sort of understand the investment that the team has in him, both from draft status and salary status. You know, you want to give a guy every benefit of the doubt, a first-round pick to turn things around. But when it's to the detriment of the team, which it is at that point now, has been for a couple weeks, I would argue, maybe the whole year, it's to the point now where it's like, that should not matter. You're going to stink the team for one guy. Like my old man always used to say about the Navy, guy goes overboard, oh, well, you're not going to stop the ship and risk 700 guys to save one guy. You're going to radio to the other ship to go fish him out. And that's where we're at now. That's the point we're at now. There really is no reason. And I'm not anti-Tryon Shayinka. I'm anti-no production. Just produce. That's all I want. Production. They're still in the playoffs only because of this horrible division they play in.
And Steve, one more point, which I think is an important one. Just talking about this right outside edge pass rusher, which just happens to be the quarterback's blind side. And Lee's right, very important. The old Simeon Rice. Now, we're not expecting another Simeon Rice, but can I get Stiles G. White at this point? Lee, Steve, here's one more point. Maybe you could say, Steve, if the defense overall was playing well, but Tryon Shayinka didn't have a lot of production on paper, I think you could make the argument, Steve, that he's a good fit for what they're asking this defense to do. But, Steve, the point is, especially during this slump, the defense is not playing well. They're not playing well. So you really got nothing to fall back on to keep putting this guy out there. He might even be going backwards, Steve. He certainly hasn't taken a step forward.
I have a real quick, your point magnifies why you need someone with a little bit of hope of getting to the quarterback, not no hope. And you're talking about how the defense isn't playing well. Well, it looks like the Bucs could be without their starting corners for a while, without Levante David, although he told me he'd be fine. If you want me, I can add to that later. I had a chat with him Sunday night in the locker room. If you're down those three guys, that just magnifies how much more important you need your pass rush to be.
Yeah.
Sage, let me clarify a couple things. First, if you fall overboard on the ship, I'll stop it for you. Don't worry about that.
What if a dolphin's got me in his mouth over there, Steve? What are you going to do then?
And the other part of it, you know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense, even from the investiture angle that you talk about, Ira. You know, because they're in such a desperate spot, and Trajan Soyinka has been here, it's his third year. He doesn't make a lot of money at all. He makes less money than Nelson. You know, last guy in the first round doesn't make a lot of cash. And it's just strange at this point because entering the season, Todd Bowles talked about how he liked how much they liked their depth at edge rusher. So, well, okay, if one guy is struggling, then use the depth. And Diaby, you know, is rounding into form and exciting. And you've got Nelson who looks better, and you got other guys too. Marquise Watts, we know the names. Just doesn't make a lot of sense right now. And the wacky thing about the pass rush, Ira, is that the 2.9 sacks per game that they're averaging, that's better than their Super Bowl year in 2002, and they're putting quarterbacks down. I understand sacks are higher than they used to be, but they're still sacking at a good rate. It's just there's no consistency with the pass rush. And, of course, you know, like we talked about last time, you know, these guys can't cover anymore. And on that front, Todd Bowles was asked on the Buccaneers Radio Network Tuesday about the struggling starting cornerbacks and what their challenges have been. And he pointed right at both of them and said technique, that their technique has been off. And he explained how Dean should have gotten a hand on Ayuk at the line of scrimmage on the touchdown that went past him and all that. And he turned the wrong way and it ended up the way it ended up. And Dean got hurt. So I don't know what to say about that. These guys are veteran players who know exactly what Bowles wants from them. And he's saying technique is off. What is your thought there?
Well, that's kind of a shocking acknowledgement. Lee, I tell you one thing that we don't want to hear anymore. If these guys are both on the team next year in terms of Dean and Davis, and they probably will be given their contract situation. If Kevin Ross is still on the coaching staff, and if Bowles is here, Ross will be on the staff, Lee. And we don't need to hear Kevin Ross, Lee, on August 5th come onto the podium and say, if these two corners want to be great and take it to the next level, they got to take the ball away. They got to take the ball away. You know, this is not year one or two for Messrs. Davis and Dean. Steve, am I right? They don't have a pick between them? Absolutely shocking. Absolutely shocking. Like, Lee, and it's not like teams are just running wild on the Bucs. They're throwing on the Bucs. And these guys don't have a pick. I mean, overall, the Bucs are doing okay on takeaways, but it certainly ain't because of Dean and Davis.
No, and you know me about turnovers. Football people say, well, I'll show you the data. Well, I'll show you the data. If you play good football, you'll win games, turnovers or no turnovers. You know, if Dean and Davis were playing good football and the Bucs had a winning record, only the haters would be screaming about no picks.
Right.
But Bowles was quoted as saying that technique is the issue. That kind of smells to me like Mike Smith always talking about communication, although he couldn't exactly admit what the communication was. We found out, but that's something that a coach can't say out loud. But it's a euphemism. It's a cover. How does Dean and Davis allegedly have really good technique? I mean, look at how the defense played 2020, 2021, 2022 even. How do they play that well? And all of a sudden, they completely, both of them, totally fall off the map. Either they're being used differently, which we know they're playing a lot of zone, or these guys are tanking on Bowles. That's a pretty harsh comment. But you tell me how both guys can fall off the map at the same time when the previous 3 or 4 years they played really good football. I mean, we just heard Ja'Marr Chase just said a couple weeks ago, Carlton Davis played him better than anybody in the league. maybe Davis, this toe injury he's dealing with, maybe it's not just a toe injury. You know, Steve, he just smells like the Bucks are playing games with the injury report. Maybe that's something a little more major than what we think it is, or we're led to believe it is. Remember, a month or so ago, I asked Bowles point blank if he had turf toe, and he didn't. He said, no, I don't think that's it. But maybe there's something going on there with his foot. Now, Dean, of course, is brittle as hell. We all know that. But it's just really, really weird.
I don't know, Lee. It's definitely a mystery. Yeah, there's really no explaining why, you know, I don't think technique is a smokescreen. I think he's just saying what he's seeing is that, hey, they failed here and here and overall because their technique isn't as sharp as it used to be. That sounds like guys who are tanking or whose heads aren't in it for whatever reason. I don't know who to point to there other than everybody, but it is it's glaring, the ongoing nature of it all.
Guys, last week I do a Hall of Fame podcast with Clark Judge, another Hall of Fame voter, and we had Joe Banner on. Lee, you know Joe Banner from the 33rd team, which is a very good site, and he was an executive with the Eagles when they were really good in the 2000s with Andy Reid on the sidelines. And among the topics that came up, we were talking about how teams have to self-scout themselves and franchises. And he was very forceful on this point, Lee. And he prefaced it by saying, this is something that a lot of franchises struggle with. They don't want to do it. They're not good at doing it. But the better you are at it, the better off you will be. And Lee, what he was talking about was the brain trust, the GM, the owners, maybe even a coach. They got to be absolutely honest with themselves. Where are we? Where are we as a franchise? And, Lee, I think the Bucks put off that moment of truth a year ago because they won the division. And I don't really think they had that discussion. I think it was like, hey, we'll win the division again. These teams stink. We got a good enough team to win it. Something tells me that after this year, they're going to have one of those discussions. And I think when they sit down and realize with brutal honesty, where are we? I think some Buck fans are going to be shocked by the consequences.
Well, I know what you're getting at, Ira, that maybe we're looking at a 2009 overhaul.
It might be more than a reset. A reset might not be good enough, Lee.
It makes sense. It adds up. It's very possible. I don't know about likely, but it's possible. But how much of the delay in a reset, I get that's what you're suggesting, that maybe they should have had a reset last year. And who knows? Maybe the film, maybe their self-scouting suggested that Davis and Dean were still pretty good. And I just looked at how they played last year, and they didn't play like garbage. That's why I don't know what happened since last year.
And they also believed Rashad White was going to be a much better running back, and that hasn't happened unless you're talking about his pass catcher.
True, but he was also a rookie, and I don't, you know, they weren't going to,
right.
And they were bringing in a new offensive coordinator, and of course there was the Brian Leftwich factor, which, you know, if someone's going to tell me, well, Brian Leftwich doesn't look so bad now, my response is, where's he working again? But here's my point. How much of the delay in the reset was Bowles? And what I mean by that is, Bowles is a smart guy. He knows if they had a reset, all of a sudden, he might be out of a job or in dire jeopardy. Because we all know with the Glazer family, what their record is with two losing seasons in a row, it's not pretty. So how much of that was him saying, no, I can win with these guys. We don't need a reset. I can win with these guys. I can win a division. And they said, okay, you know, we'll work with you.
I understand your point, Lee. And while Bowles has a voice in that regard, I think Light's got a bigger voice. And I think Light had convinced himself, rightfully or wrongfully, that this team didn't need major changes. We're going to roll with Mayfield and see what happens. Division's very winnable. But I'll tell you, Lee, if they finish 7-10, I don't think tinkering is the way to go with a quarterback-rich draft. And I'm not blaming Mayfield. He's had a decent season.
Yeah, for him, he's had a good season.
You know, he might be the number 14 quarterback in the league, which isn't bad, considering what you're paying the guy, Lee. That's not bad. But he's never going to, you know, he's never going up to number 5, Lee. That's not going to happen.
Hey, Sage, let me throw a little numbers in here.
Throw a little cold water on this, Steve.
unless I'm missing something, there's no reason why this team isn't 6-4 instead of 4-6. And I say that from a talent standpoint. There was no reason they should have lost to the Texans. There was no reason they should have lost to Atlanta. They were more talented than those teams on those days. I understand, you know, what happened in Texas, but bottom line is, this team easily could be 6-4. Jason Light, I'm sure when he's sitting home having a cold drink at his pool, that he's realizing, MF, you know, we should be 6-4. This is a bunch of crap. And he would be right. And I think the Glazers know that too. I think most fans realize that as well. I mean, you know how atrocious those games were. So, you know, I don't know. I'm still a little bit optimistic that they can turn some things around, because I think good things are happening on offense. And while Todd Bowles has got some major red flags with his defense, I still think he's going to have some good big defensive days, like we saw against Tennessee and earlier in the season this year, that they may have enough to pull this off, which gets me to Sunday, Ira, because it really is a must-win game, and I think the Bucs are more talented.
I don't disagree with that, Steve. Can they go 5-2 down the stretch and finish with a winning record and save Bowles' job in the process, I think? Can they? They can. But Lee, it starts at Indy. And if you lose this one, now you're talking about winning 5 out of 6, Lee. I don't think they're good enough to do that. I don't care who they're playing.
You're losing to Atlanta. You're losing to Houston. I know C.J. Stroud's excellent. But if you're losing winnable games, those are winnable games. If you're losing winnable games, especially to Atlanta, I don't know how you're supposed to turn that, you know, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. And like someone Twittered Steve and I today, and I can smell this happening too. You can almost read it. Rookie quarterbacks have better games in the latter part of their rookie seasons. Guess who they're facing? 4 p.m. next Sunday. The stinking Panthers and Byron Young.
Bryce Young.
Bryce Young.
Yeah. Steve, I've been looking at the Colts. I can't believe they've won 5 games, Steve. Correct me if I'm wrong. And they don't really do anything particularly well. Steve, Gardner Minshew's the quarterback. Pittman's a decent receiver, but on most teams he'd be a number 2. They split the running. I think the strength of the team is the running backs. You know, and the O-line's not bad.
Ira, come on now. Sage, come on now. You know what they do well, Ira? They score points. That's what they do well. You don't need to know much else. They're top 10 in scoring. They put points on the board. They find a way, and they've got some talent around.
I'm looking as a defensive coordinator. I don't see anybody that scares me, not necessarily. Minshew at the under center? I mean, are you kidding me? Having said that, they're favored to beat the Bucs, Lee. They're favored. Some of it's being home. I understand that. Their best player on defense is DeForest Buckner. Remember him with the 49ers? Good defensive tackle. Steve, this is the first time this season, and it's about time. This is the first time, and I think it's legitimate. This is, as opposed to last week, this is a must-win.
And I think you're right, Ira, because like I said, if they lose this game, I don't see how they finish with a winning record. I just don't.
Yes, Sage, I'm in the same camp. I could see them figuring things out. However, they got to win. If they can't pull this to 6-6 with these two teams that they're beatable, then what are we right. As Lee would say, what are we talking about here?
Lee, are you impressed with the Colts? You know, did anything jump out at you about these guys?
No, but I wasn't impressed with the Falcons either.
Steve Arthur Smith's got his own problems. He's got his own problems in Atlanta. He's playing musical quarterbacks. Lee, at least the Bucs have stability under center. I mean, that's something.
For Baker Mayfield, for a guy who some with a national NFL voice claims was the worst quarterback in the league last year, he's playing pretty damn good. You know, Mayfield, like Ian Beckles has said, of all people, Ian Beckles, Baker Mayfield's not the problem, nor is he the solution.
You know, I don't always agree with Beckles. I got no problem with that.
I don't know, man. I am just not that down on Mayfield. He's not great, but he has no running game. None. Worse than what Brady had last year, and he's probably going to end up turning in the same kind of year that Brady had last year when it's all said and done. You know, I don't know. I can't write him off yet when the guy literally has nothing on the ground, absolutely nothing. I'd love to see him with a subpar running back, what that might look like.
Well, he does have Evans and Godwin, and they've been healthy, Steve. You gotta say that too. He does have them. Gardner Minshew doesn't have them, and you know who doesn't have them? C.J. Stroud, Lee. He had a bunch of guys nobody ever heard of.
I heard of Nico Collins, and I can't think of the other guy he throws to. But
Sage, here we go. I am calling the Buccaneers winning this game, 24-21 in Indianapolis on Sunday. Now, if they don't win it, shame on them. Mayfield's a better quarterback. The Bucs should be playing in desperation mode, absolute all out, everything on the line. Whereas you got the Colts coming off a bye week in a rebuilding year. They shouldn't have the same level of urgency, which I think matters or should matter a little bit. Bucs have played there. They played there last preseason. They were there 2 years ago in a thrilling game. Leonard Fournette went wild. So they've been there. They shouldn't have any surprises. They know the personnel pretty well. If they can't win this thing, I'm throwing in the towel. But I think they do, 24-21.
All right, Lee, you're up, Lee.
I think the Bucs lose 23-20. Big thing on my mind is the health of the defense. What's Lavonte David's status? Now, I talked to Lavonte David in the locker room, and he was leaving the locker room as I'm walking in, and I'm like, hey, Lavonte, you going to be okay? And he was limping. He wasn't limping demonstrably, but he was noticeably limping. He didn't look to be in anything, but he was limping. I said, hey, Lavonte, you going to be okay? Oh, excuse me. And his response was, yeah, I'm going to be all right. He nodded his head very confidently. He's going to be okay. Yeah, I'll be all right. So just the way he reacted and responded, and that was Sunday, remember, you know, that's he has a week to heal. He didn't sound like he was going to miss much time. I don't know about Davis. I don't know about Dean. Doesn't look good. That weighs on my mind because I'm sorry. Zion McCollum, for every good play he makes, he's lost for three or four plays. That bothers me. I'm going to say 23-20 Bucks. Bucks just don't believe in scoring points. They're bound to determine to run the ball until it's too late. When they finally figure out it's too late, they throw the ball pretty well. Which, before we hear your score, I want you to respond to this. I'm starting to get a little tired of this. Even though it makes sense, makes all the logical sense in the world. We constantly hear over and over, you know, about a lack of targets with Godwin and Evans, especially in the first half. And part of that is they're just going to run the ball. They, you know, it's like it just drives me nuts that they can't figure out they can't run the ball. You're dragging the whole team down because you won't get off this, you know, run to win nonsense. We hear one of the reasons that Evans and Godwin don't get targets. Well, defenses are bound and determined to take them out. I agree with that. And Rashad White told me Sunday night, he said that's one of the reasons he's blowing up in the receiving game is because teams are so focused on Evans and Godwin that it's giving him opportunities. Well, you know what? When teams play Miami, defenses are keen on Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They're finding ways to get open.
Yep.
I could rattle off all kinds of teams that have two good receivers, and defenses are going to try to take them out. But you know what? They somehow find ways to get open. If you have a will, you'll find a way. And I just think, specifically in the first half, you notice the first half is when Godwin and Evans are not targeted. I just think they're just so stubborn, the Bucs are. And I don't know if that's the offensive coordinator. I don't know if that's the head coach. I don't know if it's the quarterback. I don't know who. All three, maybe. I don't know. But they're just so bound and determined that they're going to win with this league-worst rushing attack. That takes away from scheming up ways to get Evans and Godwin open.
I wouldn't think Evans and Godwin are both being double-teamed, Steve. I'm not buying that. If that's the case, Kate Otten should be catching eight balls a game. So it's time for my pick. I hope Lavonte David is right and he plays because I think they're going to need him. Because to me, the Colts are a running team with a pretty good offensive line and two running backs. I'm not worried about their passing game, even though the Bucs are playing lousy pass defense right now. So, Steve, I disagree with you a little bit on the motivation thing because the last time I looked, Steve, the Colts are 5-5, and they're a game out of the wild card spot in the AFC. So they have motivation. They don't think they're out of it. I think the Bucs are better. Steve, I agree. I think the Bucs are going to win. I said the same thing about the Falcons game, and it didn't work out. I think the Bucs win and actually score some points in the process. 27-20 Buccaneers.
All right, Sage. So we got a split decision all around. And I got to say, on the Mike Evans target argument, I don't even buy it at all. I mean, this is really very much similar to what we've seen throughout his career. There have always been games and stretches where the offensive coordinator goes to the podium on a Thursday and says, we got to get Mike involved early. Bruce Arians, we can't let that happen again. We got to get him involved early. Right now, Evans is averaging a little over 8 targets a game. That's pretty much his career average. So I just see it as this is Mike Evans. Why they don't throw to him sooner, I don't know. Why they don't scheme it up, I don't know. Why this isn't one of the years when he is pushing his 10 targets a game, which was his career high or so, because they need him, right? They don't have a ton of other options. I don't get that either, but to me, it's not like he's not getting the ball. Godwin is a different story. He's a little lower on the targets, but Evans, it just feels like a normal season for him.
I want to see Evans early, Lee, and I want to see Evans often. That's what I want to see on Sunday. And if that happens, I think the Bucs will win this game and then have a chance to even their record the following week against Carolina.
Well, we all want to see that, Ira, but what you don't want to see is Florida's Elite Restoration at your house, because that means you've got a disaster. Maybe you called them because you have mold, flood, fire, storm damage, whatever it is. They are the ones to call, family owned. They'll give you $500 back. If you call them, tell them you heard about them from Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan. And after the free evaluation they give you, if you need their services, if you move forward with an agreement for them to restore your property, they'll give you $500 back. Maybe you're paying in cash, but most likely they're fighting your insurance company to get you what you need. And that $500 is going to be used toward your deductible. Check them out today. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Sage, actually, two very quick questions. You don't need long answers on this. I actually got to hit the toilet, Ira, so we're not going to go too much longer. I'll be very graphic with our readers here and listeners. But, Sage, I want to remind everybody that special Bill Curry Ford Black Friday offer pops on Thanksgiving Day at joebucksfan.com. Read it there. Your mind will be blown, and we'll leave it at that. Of course, they're open on Friday. Sean Sullivan will be there, the GM. He's ready to help you personally. Get the deal you deserve. It's there for you now. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage, look, if Lee is correct and the Bucks lose, you know, we all know Team Glazer is going to be really ramping up their coaching search. Basically, it'll be December. Bulls will have stunk it up. You know, they're going to be looking. Doesn't mean they'll do it, but they'll be looking, and they'll be looking hard. Do you think if the offense improves through this season, continues its improvement, maybe we get to a point in the last 4 or 5 games where they're putting up an average of 26 points a game, something like that, 25, 26. Do you think Dave Canales has any prayer of replacing Todd Bowles as head coach?
No. No, I don't. I don't think that's going to be enough of a sweeping change if things go sideways. And they're almost sideways now, Lee, at 4-6. Check my math, Lee, but including the playoffs, Todd Bowles is 12-16 as Buck coach. 12-16. That's not impressing anybody, including the Glazers. New coach is going to come in, Lee. Probably not keep Canales. He'll get another job, and he should. But I don't think that's going to placate the fans, moving up Canales. This team's got a lot to think about, Lee, in the offseason, if things go sideways. A lot to think about. With a quarterback-rich draft coming up, are you going to let another year go without taking a big swing? That's the first question. I think that's got to be answered after you make the decision about the coach.
Well, if things go sideways, and what you said, Ira, the quarterback-rich draft, knowing how the Glazer family covets, they don't just want, they covet a franchise quarterback, it would be very, very, very surprising if they didn't draft one. Very surprising.
I'm with you, Lee. And, you know, some of these guys might last till pick number 12 or 14. They might.
I agree with you, Ivor. There's some guys, I was just thinking about this earlier this afternoon. There might be some guys, if they were coming out next year or if they came out last year, they'd be gone in the first 10 picks. Whereas now, those guys might slide to the latter part of the first round. I really agree with you, Ivor. That's a very, very, very good point.
Well, Sage, on the offensive front with Canales, It's an interesting thought, only because in the hypothetical I gave you, if the offense continues to improve and it's the defense that leads the team to a, or, you know, the defensive issues really lead the team sort of to 7-10, an ugly 8-9 kind of thing, then you got to say that Kanellis had a hand in Geno Smith, and now he comes to the Bucs. First-time coordinator, he gets the best season Baker Mayfield's delivered. It could end up looking that way statistically. They loved what he did with Trask. I don't know how quickly the Glazers would want to throw him out with the bathwater if they're planning to draft a quarterback, you know, when they've had a whole year to audition this guy as somebody who can work with quarterbacks. I don't know.
Steve, a compromise could be reached if there's going to be a coaching change and they're going to draft a quarterback, and both could happen. Maybe before you ink your next head coach, you tell him up front that Kanellis is going to stay, either as the OC or the quarterback coach. If the guy doesn't agree to it, you go to somebody else. If they're that impressed with Kanellis, that could happen. You say, well, you don't want to hamstring a new coach by telling him who's going to be on the staff, but these guys want to be head coaches. And especially if it's a first-time guy without a track record, I don't think having Kanellis on the staff is going to be a deal-breaker for the guy.
A big-name coach, I don't think the Glazers will handcuff him like that. For example, let's say the Glazers and Jim Harbaugh came to a gentleman's agreement, you're coming to Florida. Do you think the Glazers are going to say, oh, by the way, there's one more thing?
No, I don't think they would do that with Harbaugh. I think you're right.
I mean, if it's a big-name coach. And just to be fair, and I like Dave Kanellis, don't get me wrong, but if you don't think enough of a guy to pick his own quarterback coach or offensive coordinator, maybe you shouldn't have confidence to hire the guy to begin with.
I understand. Most likely, Lee, if they make a change at the top, they're going to give the guy the autonomy to hire who he wants.
Of course.
I got to add this. I got to be fair. But seeing what Kanellis did with Trask in a matter of 6 weeks, I mean, Trask went from Ryan Griffin level to just about Baker Mayfield's level in 6 weeks. I've been on a record for a year now that the Bucs should draft a quarterback in 2024. So, I think Mayfield has a ceiling. We might be watching that ceiling. And I don't know if Trask is any better than Mayfield. From what I've seen, I would say no. I still say draft a quarterback. But seeing what Kanellis did with my own eyes, with Trask from minicamp until training camp, it still blows my mind. The advancement that Trask made blows my mind.
Yeah, I think overall, Steve, you got to say Kanellis has made a good impression. In Tampa, although he hasn't fixed the running game. I don't know how much you can blame him on that, but he hasn't. And for the first half of the season, the offense wasn't very good. So it is picking up, Steve. If it continues to pick up, I don't think that'll be unnoticed by the Glazers. But to hire him as the head coach, I think that's a whole different thing for the Glazers.
Sure, sure. And I think you're being generous when you say he's made a great impression. He hasn't really done much yet, but it's getting better, and we'll see. It was within a hypothetical that I threw that out there. Had to ask. All right, last one, Ira. When you wash your hands on Thursday, drying them off, you're making a battle plan at your brother-in-law's. What is the Sage's battle plan to attack Thanksgiving and all the feasting that goes on there? What's the plan?
The letters that are important here are S, T, and N. S, T, and N. Quite simply, that means soup to nuts, DeKemper. Soup to nuts. I'm not skipping on anything. The creamed onions, the spinach, the cranberry sauce, the gravy, the mashed potatoes, the string beans, the turkey, of course, the wine, and then you cap it off with some pie and ice cream. And after that, we hit the road and come back home. I just wonder if I'm going to be able to fit in my front door, Lee.
You're not guilty at all after gorging all day long from a chef, a trained chef. You put that ice cream, you go a la mode. You put the ice cream on top of the pie.
I don't miss a thing, Lee. If he wants to put some sprinkles on there, I'll believe I'll go back to when I was 9 years old and like sprinkles. I'm totally under his command. John Smith is one hell of a cook, and I'm going to take full advantage. Steve, go do your business.